Right, I was here 2 weeks ago and I talked on the theme of why be anxious. And we used the same scripture reading from Matthew 6. And I encouraged you all, or perhaps challenged you all, that every time we worry or get anxious, and I'm not talking about anxiety, let me make that clear, I'm talking about the human need, because we all worry about things, what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, what we're going to do, etc. And Jesus expressly tells us that if we seek his kingdom first, and if we seek his righteousness, then God will add all of those things to us, one way or another. Most of us worry about all sorts of things because we haven't yet learned that we can trust our Heavenly Father to supply all our needs. And I would dare to say that the more you get to know him, the less you will worry. The fact that we do worry means we don't know him very well yet. So I encouraged you all to get acquainted with him. Read your Bibles more prayerfully and carefully. Get to know him, because this week we're going to be looking at what does it mean to seek God's kingdom first? What does it mean to seek his righteousness first? Because that is actually the key for God to add everything to us. It is a conditional promise, but God is encouraging us. If you put me first, I will look after your needs. I will put you first. So it's a challenge for us. So those of you who weren't here when I gave that first talk, Phil, is it available? Should people want it? Because I do go into detail about anxiousness and encouraging us all to get to know the Lord better, and then we won't have to. Okay, so please see Phil afterwards if you need to want to have that talk first. So I'm assuming that in the last 2 weeks you have been learning about all the areas where you get anxious and learning to confess all of that to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm anxious again, awake. I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. Lord, please undertake for me. Please deal with me, help me to know that you are good and you are kind and you are merciful. Even if I've got it wrong, you want to sort me out and clean me up. God is on a mission. And he has to clean us up first for us to be effective for him. God wants us to partner with him. He wants to be able to share with you things that are unique about him that you can share with others, so that the comfort you've received, you can comfort others with. But God wants to do it in a unique way. So each one of you have a part to play in that. So, seeking God's kingdom first. What does the word seek mean? Anybody know? Go after, yes. Pursue.
Follow.
Ah. Let's link them together. You pursue and seek until you find. Until it's real. Until God has made that real in your heart and life. He's encouraging us to seek. As a child, I used to play a game called hide and seek. I don't know if they do it anymore these days, do they? You're familiar with it. And the object of hide, you hide somewhere and someone has to come looking for you. And they don't stop looking until they find you. Okay? Sometimes if it's kids, they usually give up pretty quick. And I hope as adults we don't give up too quick, because the Lord does encourage us to seek in order that you might find, that you might know for sure that I'm on your case, that I will lead you. You can rely on me. So God wants us to seek. The dictionary definition is to actively attempt to find, acquire, or achieve something. Pursue until you find, until it's real. So God is encouraging us to pursue his kingdom first. So that begs another question. Well, what is his kingdom? I do meet quite a lot of Christians over the years who think that his kingdom is going to come in the future. Well, they're correct. But people can taste his kingdom now on earth. People can taste and see that God is good. They can experience him now. Whether they follow him or not is another matter. But people can taste of the powers of the age to come through vessels like you and me as we learn to move and work with God. Seeking his kingdom first means prioritizing God's will, God's rule, and God's values above our own. It means pursuing God's will, God's rule, and God's values above our own. It will challenge you, because we're so used to putting us first, or our family first. But it will challenge us. So so God will need to speak to us about those areas, because you will discover, as I have, just about how much we worry about things. Because we're so used to, in this world, putting number one first. Our needs first. Lord, I will serve you, providing you give me the money to do it. Providing you do this, providing you do that, then I'll go. Lord, I feel nervous, anxious, but if you can give me the boldness, then I'll go. We're full of excuses. But they do seem to be legitimate questions. God is saying, look, I have budgeted for you. I know you're anxious. I know you're worried. I know you're concerned. But rest assured, if you're willing to put yourself out for me, I will put myself out for you. So we have to learn to look out for the things that God is interested in. And trust him to look after our concerns. There is a scripture in Luke chapter 4, which I'll read out to you, which puts in a nutshell what God is interested in. Only I've got the church Bible here, and it's small print. So bear with me. But it's Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 22. And it says this. When he... See, that's God's provision for me. You've just witnessed that because I didn't know. Okay. When he, that's Jesus, came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went, as usual, to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He rolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scriptures you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. And everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be, they asked. Isn't this Joseph's son? So, those people encountered something of Jesus through the words that he spoke. And indeed, if you read all of the four Gospels, you'll find many people encountered Jesus. Not everyone followed him, sadly, but they did encounter him. Some were healed, some were delivered, some were fed. Some just followed him just for free food. If you read John chapter 5 and 6, they had the feeding of the 5,000, and they thought, oh, we'll go back tomorrow and we'll get some more free food. People will jump on any bandwagon if it's free. And when Jesus and God's power starts to move, and you're reaching out through the barbecue, whatever you reach out in, people will always be on the lookout for something that's free. It doesn't make them a Christian, but we have to be prepared. But what did Jesus do? It didn't stop him from giving to them. Now, I don't know about you, but if I've paid a lot of money for a barbecue, I want to make sure that the people I give food to are followers of Jesus first, rather than anybody. I don't want to waste my food. I don't know about you. But the important thing is God is willing to give away what is his to those who need it, whether or not they follow him. I find that quite amazing. I'm a father of three kids. They're all grown up and married now. And I'm happy to give away to my sons and my daughters. But to strangers, people who could just give that money to anything, to anyone, abuse it, ooh, that's risky. However, if you go back to that reading in John 5 and John 6, when these people had their first bout of free food, they came back again the next day. And do you know what Jesus said? He said, why have you come back? Well, we've come back because you gave us free food yesterday. We want some free food now. And he said, rather seek the food that endures to eternal life rather than just physical food. He challenged them the second time round, which I find very interesting. Because the Lord, when he gives, he might not give again. He reserves that right, because none of us deserve it anyway. But he did challenge them, and saying, you seek me because to fill your bellies. You're not seeking me for the life that you need. So he challenged them. That scripture back in Luke shows us that the things God's interested in is truth, liberty, mercy, humility, health, goodness, peace, justice, care for the poor, integrity. The list goes on. God is interested in all those things. And when God starts moving in your life, you'll notice, you'll feel a compassion to want to help with the poor, or you'll feel compassionate about health issues, or truth issues, or social issues. History is full of people that God raised up in our country and other countries where God moved them to alter the laws in our society to reflect something of the goodness and greatness of God. God may be calling somebody here to do just that. But God is interested in wholesome, good things. And he encourages you and I to seek after those things until they become real in you. It all starts with a desire, doesn't it? I'm inspired. There's things I'm inspired. I'd love to preach like Wesley. I don't know if that will ever happen. But it inspires me to pray and say, Lord, I want to see your spirit move and touch people without me trying to make anything happen. I'm inspired by various people. Smith Wigglesworth is another, although I'm not too sure about some of his ways. He's giving me the heebie-jeebies, if you've read about him. The important thing is, I want to be the best I can for Jesus. I want to make sure that of all that I have, I am free to give and trust God with the outcome. I don't want God to be limited by my prejudices, by my fears, by my anxiousness. I want God to have greater freedom to move in my life and through me. So I'm seeking these things of the kingdom, that they may become real in me, part of me, so that when you see me, hopefully you'll think, I like him, because there's something about him, there's a quality of Jesus that I like. Well, at least I hope you're going to say that. I mean, otherwise, I probably wouldn't come back again. Because the important thing is, God wants us to seek those things that are important to him. But of those things, each of you will be caught up with at least something that you want to pursue, because God is encouraging you. God hates injustice, he hates oppression, and he hates pride, because all those things rob people of healing, of life, of peace, of goodness, of mercy. He hates them. So if those things are still affecting your life, expect God to put his finger on them, not to judge you, because Jesus was judged in your place, but so that you can do business with him. Say, Lord, forgive me. Change my heart so I don't oppress anymore, but I learn to impact people, to serve people. I'm not proud anymore. I learn to be humble. I don't want to be unjust. I want to learn to seek justice for others. Wherever Jesus went, people tasted heaven on earth. Because when they encountered Jesus, he counteracted the effects of their sin. He counteracted the effects of oppression, of injustice, of pride. And boy, did it make a difference. No wonder he attracted people. Jesus challenges you and I to seek the things that God is interested in, so that as they become real in you, you'll be able to demonstrate that to others. Not by proving anything, but by the way you live, by the way you speak. You'll take an interest in others that will reflect something of the character of Jesus, the power of Jesus. Because they will see light in you reflecting the things that concern God. We have a choice concerning the kingdom of God. We either seek his kingdom first, or we seek our own first. There's no middle road. Most of us are mixture, if we're honest. But really, things need to become more black and white, not just grey. Because when they're grey, you can convince yourself, well, it's light enough. Until some Christians come along who shine brighter than you, and they think, well, you're dark. And you think, ah! When we read Romans 12, that gives you an indication of what the Christian life looks like if we're seeking God's kingdom first. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 21. That shows us the things that God is looking for, expecting of us. If Jesus means anything to you, what he's done for you, his love for you, his forgiveness, then that will impact you and change you to the point where you want to surrender to him and serve him and seek his interests first. If you're in it just for your own ends, then your heart is, whether it's converted or not, is questionable. I do know that God has to wean us off selfishness. I am aware. But our desire should want to be to give our all and surrender our all to Jesus. It might make you fearful, it might make you worried even, but in all these things we're saying, Lord, please deal with me. Please help me. Please clean me up. I'm seeking you because I want these things that you value to be real in my life. I've got to start somewhere. I want to start now. Whether you're single, married, got kids, you're saying, Jesus, teach me your ways. Teach me how I can put your kingdom first. Because if we don't expect God to add everything to you. The fact that he will surprise you, like he did to lots of people in the Gospels, God will always do that because it's his nature. But he wants us to learn to be wise stewards of what he's given us. If we want to see God move and work, we must learn how to work with him. We must learn to put his kingdom first. Jesus is our role model, because every time you look at his life, he demonstrated in everything, attitudes, actions, what God is expecting us to do. The more we learn to follow him and surrender to him, that will become your life too. But you have to seek it until you find it. Keep seeking it so it becomes real in you. Secondly, seeking his righteousness first. It's always intrigued me, because as to why Jesus would say that. Well, isn't seeking his kingdom enough? I mean, that's hard enough, isn't it? Let's be honest. Seeking the things that God values over and above my own. But he says, nope, don't forget to seek my righteousness as well. You see, it's so easy to have the form of Christianity but deny the power of it. It's easy for us, as many churches do, even today, they do great good deeds. But those good deeds won't necessarily change anybody or impact people. We're just like a glorified charity. God wants us to be filled with his Holy Spirit to make an impact on people's lives through what you do. This makes us exceptional. This makes us different to other charities, because the power of God is resting on us, and he is the one that will convict people and touch people or whatever he sees fit. If we're seeking his righteousness first, we're trusting in his strength, his wisdom, his efforts over and above our own. If we're seeking our righteousness first, nothing much will get done for the kingdom of God. If you keep trying to, I'll do better next time, Lord. I promise, I will. I'll give more. I'll do more. I'll read more. You can promise as much as you like. But your good deeds won't get you into heaven. Might make you look good before men, but it won't get you into heaven. God wants us to learn to rely on his strength, his power, his righteousness, because ours won't be good enough. It might impress people. They might go, wow, that person, the way they live, I'd love to be like that, but I can't do it. Listen, let's seek God so that the power of Jesus works in you and starts to work through you. Ask him to make you a partner with him, so that you're not just talking about the things, you're actually engaged with him working through you. It's what the early church did. There is no reason why we can't reflect that. Amazing, isn't it? It's a bit sobering too. God doesn't want us to be like other charities in our giving. It's a start. But God wants to demonstrate the power of Jesus working through us, through our good deeds, that when men see it, they'll give glory to God in heaven. Because there's something extraordinary about what you're doing. You supply the ordinariness, the willingness to do your barbecues, to do your outreach, but you're praying that God will use it, his Holy Spirit will use it to touch people, or to lead you to speak to people, or to do something completely sovereign. You're trusting in his righteousness, not your own, to be effective. Sadly, much of the power of the church today doesn't see much of the power of God, because it relies far too much on human wisdom and human effort to achieve the goals that God's looking for. And we're no different to a charity. God wants us to learn to seek his righteousness first, because it will be better than yours. Matthew chapter 3. Ooh. Chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Is it going to happen again? OK. Can the same miracle happen twice? There we go. Now, we're going to read a scripture here because I want you to understand something. Then Jesus, this is just when Jesus was coming into ministry. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. "I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you," he said. "So why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires," or in my Bible says, "so that we will fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly beloved Son, who brings great joy." Jesus got baptized in the River Jordan in order to fulfill all righteousness. He knew he needed to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit for his ministry. He could have just gone round seeking God's kingdom first like you and I. But he would have lacked the power and the conviction. He would not be able to work the miracles. God's righteousness is bigger and better than ours. The Holy Spirit gives us a wisdom beyond our knowledge. He gives us a power beyond our strength and giftings beyond our ability. With his help, we can become better than our own best efforts and better than our best thoughts. God wants us to seek his righteousness first as well, not just our own. Because we will limit what he wants to do if we're just relying on our own wisdom, efforts, thoughts, and strength. This is why we encourage you here and pray with you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to learn how to move by the Holy Spirit. Because you need him. He's the one that was going to inspire you what to do, how to reach this community. You just have to be surrendered and faithful to do it and trust him to work through you because he's been leading you and guiding you. The Holy Spirit at work in you, he's the one that makes you a Christian. He's the one that can demonstrate the power of Jesus working in and through you. We need him. He is the source of the Christian life at work in us. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Galatian scripture, the fruit of the Spirit. If God's working in you, the proof is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All of those things will start affecting your character, who you are, and people will see a difference. Because you're different to what you used to be. I know it's because of Jesus. I'm scared to death with some of the things he asks me. He said, but when I've stepped out, he's honoured me and he's been there for me. I've been fearful of this, but our life is meant to be a testimony to the goodness and mercy of God so that they see what it means to follow Jesus. They don't just hear, they don't just get fed. They're aware there's something more at stake. They see the goodness of God working in and through you. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. You and I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So even if you're fearful, then tell the Lord. Say, Lord, because I used to be ever so fearful, because it's like a takeover job. I'm thinking, oh God, what's that going to mean? But God is not like that. God is a person that's chosen to take up residence in you, but will never force his way. He could, but he will not force his way to make you do anything you don't want to do. God chooses to limit himself to you and I. But if that means anything at all to you, then learn to surrender to him. Say, Lord, I don't want to limit you. I want to give you full access, but I'm scared. Teach me, show me, help me to put your kingdom first and to seek your righteousness first. Then God will add everything. Most of us don't know God's provision. I'm daring to say this quite boldly. But most of us don't know God's provision and care for us because we're not seeking his kingdom first and we're not seeking his righteousness first. We might taste and see little bits of his goodness, like just when we come to church or every now and again. But God's saying, seek me for these things because they can become part of your life and other people will notice. If we are truly seeking God's kingdom first and his righteousness, then Jesus says, you won't need to worry about anything else. God will provide for you one way or another. You'll not need to worry about those things. I remember there had been times in my life where, I don't know if I've said this to you before, but bear with, where my wife and I, we lived by faith for 5 years. Have I said this to any of you? Can you remember? And by that, I mean we did not sign on the dole. We didn't tell anybody. We just devoted nearly 5 years of our life to following Jesus and preaching the gospel as we knew it. I was quite young. I look back and I did all sorts of things that I'm not so sure it really represented God. But I did all sorts of things in his name. And some of those times God did some amazing things. And sometimes he didn't. But I look back and I think, I'm just amazed he did some. Because my attitudes back then were different to what they are now. But God looked after us. We didn't tell anybody. We had money pushed through the letterbox in envelopes to this day. We don't know who from. We had food put on the doorsteps. We had clothes. My wife can tell you all sorts of stories. God will provide if we put him first. But it's scary. One way or another, he will. We lived like that because we felt called to do that. I don't want any of you here thinking, oh, I'm going to try that. It won't work like that. But we learned to put him first before he said, what? Now it's time to get a job. We saw God do some amazing things. We know he'll honor his word. So, will it be easy? No. Will we be immune to trials and tribulations around us? No. But we are promised the Holy Spirit's presence to comfort us, to lead us, to help us in our weakness, in our fears. God's on a mission, and he chooses to want to use people like you and me. And his call to us is, are you willing to partner with me? Are you willing to follow me? If so, you will need to seek my kingdom first and my righteousness. And then everything else will be added unto you. So let's be aware of limiting God's power to working the miracles of feeding the poor, healing the sick, saving souls, delivering people. Because we're going to limit God an awful lot if we're going to try and do that in our own strength. Let us rather seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and these things will begin to happen. But we do need to seek until it becomes real, till it becomes second nature. Quite a challenging word, isn't it? But if we're keen to see God move and work, we do need to learn to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. He has promised to look after you and look out for you. And just for the record, Sue and I, we never went hungry, but we didn't have a roast beef meal every day. Some days we just had scones to live on, but we never went without food. One day we just had wedding cake. And then occasionally God sent someone across our path who did a lovely steak and chips. And he invited us round. We went round his house more often because he was high on our pastoral list. But not for the right reasons. We went round because we thought, oh, and even we, I like the food he's given. So we used to visit him more often than others. It's awful. But I'm just sharing with you, I'm being honest. We visited that man far more every week we went for a couple of years because we loved his steak and chips. And I don't know how he got on with the Lord, to be honest, because I was just so... And I look back and I think, oh, Lord, I cringe. Because my motives weren't pure. But we did see God move and work. And I learnt some valuable lessons through it all. So even if you get it wrong, God is gracious and merciful enough to put you right. And he's been still working on me. But thank God. The last thing I want to do is interrupt what he wants to do. Get in the way. All I can do is surrender all that I have, all that he's given me, and say, Lord, please take hold of me and use me. May my life, my words, be a witness to the character and power of Jesus working through me. And if the more that happens, the more God starts to move and work, the more you see it and feel it. And God works and it inspires you to give even more. But we have to start somewhere. So I hope this word, I know it will challenge you, but I hope it will set you on the right path to realise we can't just keep coming to church and getting blessed and encouraged. Important though that is, God wants to comfort you and bless you for a reason. Because he wants to equip you and use you if you'll let him. God wants you to comfort others with the comfort he gives you. So don't hold on to whatever life you have because you'll lose it. Learn to find ways to give away what he's already given you and God will give you more. So if we want to see God move and work in your life, in this church, if you want to see this church overfilled, and I do believe this will happen, and the upstairs, then we're going to have to learn to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Okay?